There's no room for pride for the Christian. Listen, the day that we go to heaven and we stand there, you know what the Bible says in Jude 24? It says this, it is Jesus who will present you faultless before the presence of God and do so with joy.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
We hope you're having a great day, and we're delighted you've tuned in today. Pastor Bill's study from the Epistle of Romans continues with the conclusion to the message, Justified. Let's listen in now.
God told us in His Word, He said, the soul that sins must die. God can't lie. That's His justice. You blew it. There must be a death because, see, God, He demands justice. He can't change it. That's why propitiation is so important. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:33 that the wages of sin is death. Can't get around it. There's no way. The soul who sins, you're going to die. So how in the world can God, who is perfect and holy, and God is light and God is love, God is perfect righteousness, how can He take a dirty, vile sinner to Himself and not be dirtied by it? That's a very important question. You see, because God, He doesn't condone our sin. He hates our sin. He doesn't compromise His standards in the Word of God. The soul that sinneth, you bet he's going to die. But rather than dismiss our sin and just say, okay, your sins are forgiven, everything's cool, He doesn't do that. He says, I have to be the just and the justifier. My demands have to be met. So instead of dismissing man's sin, all of mankind's sin, what does He do? He Himself assumes all of mankind's sin. How? God sentences Himself. Are you with me? He sentences Himself. Jesus took our place. Christ is the propitiation then for our sins. He's our sacrifice. And on the cross, the wrath of God was poured out as the darkness came upon the earth, remember? Poured out from 12 to 3. What was that? That was when Jesus, our Lord, in that darkness was bearing or being made, not Him personally, but He was the scapegoat. Look at it that way. He took the sin of the world. God pulled back the curtains. The Bible says that God cannot look upon sin. You know, when one of the Easter messages, the Resurrection Sunday message that I taught a few years ago, I don't know when it was, but I talked about where there upon the cross, those prophecies from Isaiah, that His face His visage, if you will, meaning His face, was not that of a human being, meaning our Lord. And that wasn't from the beating that our Savior took upon the cross. I believe with all of my heart the reason He was so disfigured, that occurred between the time of 12 noon to 3 p.m. when darkness covered the earth, and as He was taking the sin of the world, it completely disfigured our Lord. That's what sin does. It says His face was marred more than any man. He did not even look human. He was becoming then the propitiation, if you will, for our sin. And when that happened, now listen, God's justice was satisfied because of what His Son did for you and for me. So what does propitiation do? Propitiation now demonstrates the incredible righteousness of God. Look at verse 25 again. It says to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, meaning all of the sins before the cross. Why? To demonstrate at this present time, or the present time, His righteousness, that He might be just. He is just because He paid for the sin, and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Therefore, God now can declare those who believe in the one who is our propitiation, He can declare that person righteous. You remember again, I just said a moment ago, the animal sacrifices, they're the blood of bull and goats. If you go back to Leviticus chapter 16, when the high priest went in only once a year to the very holy of holies with the blood, the sin offering and the burnt offering and all the rest of that. Listen, never, never could they take away sin. Again, it only atoned for them. But listen carefully, the incredible power of the cross, the incredible power of the death of Jesus reached, it said, all the way back to Adam and all the way forward to the end. Are you understanding? Jesus bore all the sin, past, present, future of the entire world. It was laid upon him. That's why it says in verse 27, where's the boasting? What are you bragging about? Paul says. He says, it's excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Where is the boasting? Listen, we don't have one thing to brag about. Amen? Whenever I run into Christians, and listen, I'm not trying to be mean right now. I'm just being honest. It hurts me to run into a Christian that looks down their nose at the lost and said, you know, I'm better. You're not any better. You're not any better than anyone. Amen? It's like, well, your own right. No, it's not your own righteousness. There's no boasting for the Christian. There's no room for pride for the Christian. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. The day that we go to heaven and we stand there, you know what the Bible says in Jude 24? It says this, it is Jesus who will present you faultless before the presence of God and do so with joy. It's Jesus, not yours. You're not going to walk in and say, hey, here I am. You know, I'm the one. No, no, no. God's not going to share his glory in all that he's done with any of us. That's right. What does that mean? Well, you can't take credit for your salvation. You can't. Well, yeah, there was something he saw in me. Yeah, sin. Pride. He didn't see anything good in you. Nothing good. Yeah, well, there's something good. No, there was nothing good. Worthwhile. Matter of fact, what did it say last week? That mankind, God looked at mankind and said they were unprofitable. That word means useless. It means worthless. It was a picture in the Greek of a picture of a fruit that was rancid and rotten. And what did the question I asked you last week was, what do you do with rotten fruit in your refrigerator? You throw it out. We were good for nothing. Hold up. See, here's a problem. When Adam fell, how far did Adam really fall? I mean, listen, we're like I said one time, we're the wreckage of the past. We don't know what we really used to be. Does that make sense? If we could only get that. And see, we look at ourselves today and we're so in love. Oh, you know, the lovers of self, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You know what I'm saying, all the nonsense. Oh, no, 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 no. There's no boasting. It says, by what law? Meaning any law. There is no law. Anything you think you could do, we have absolutely nothing to boast about. The greatest lie that Satan has ever created is that man somehow can earn a right relationship with God. It is an absolute impossibility. Therefore, it says, we conclude that man is justified, declared righteous. How? By faith, apart from any merit, apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. There's one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Now listen, there is one God. Did you catch that? There is one God, only one God. And since there is only one God, I don't care how many religions we have in this world, there is only one God, and that means there is only one way to be saved. By faith alone. There's absolutely no other way. Do we then make void the law of faith? He says, well, Paul says, certainly not, or God forbid. On the contrary, we establish the law. How? By the doctrine of justification by faith. The law can never save us, could never save anyone. The law can only point and say you're a sinner and can't help you, can't give you the power to overcome sin. It can only say, you're guilty, you're guilty. It never tells you, hey, you're doing a good job. It always condemns. And what does it do? It points us to the need of a Savior. Now listen very carefully. this justification, which is so rarely taught in the church today. And that's why so many believers, they don't know their standing, and they tremble. They go, oh God, am I really saved? Will you really keep me saved? Listen, the doctrine of justification is the greatest doctrine on the face of the earth. Amen. Because it tells us how a man can be made right in the presence of God. Justification, as you've heard me teach so many times through the years here, justification, listen carefully now, don't ever forget these words, is a judicial act by God. Judicial, that's very important. It's where God declares in heaven, when the sinner believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth, he declares you justified, or just as if you had never, ever committed one sin ever in your life. Do you understand that? Listen, I look and I say, oh God. And here's what happens. As you already know, Christ's perfect, sinless, spotless record is imputed into your account. Now listen, justification is a one-time act. One-time act. It's not repeatable. I am no more saved. 40 years ago, I received Christ this month. 40 years ago, I am no more saved today or justified today than I was 40 years ago. Does that make sense? Why? Because justification is a judicial decision, a one-time act by God. It's never to be repeated. And listen again, it's not a process. Listen, God declares the believing sinner not guilty, and he can never be charged with that guilt ever again. That's why the doctrine of justification is so incredible. No, no, Bill, you mean justification means he's pardoned us. No, 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 no. Get that out of your thinking and out of your mind. You haven't been pardoned. In other words, to be pardoned means that you've served your time like in jail, right? And so you've paid your debt. Well, you can't pay your debt because no man can pay their sin debt. So you haven't been pardoned. And, you know, I went to jail because, you know, I don't know, punched a police officer. I love every police officer. That must have been the Holy Spirit. No, and it's still on your record. Okay, it's still on your record. But see, when God says it's not on your record, there's nothing on your record. Listen, there is nothing right this moment. There is nothing on your record. Justification is like having an Apple computer, you know, and you're working and all of a sudden you hit the wrong button and you deleted that because you didn't save it. And you say, where did it go? And you call the IT guy. You call all the people in the office and they say, Bill, it can't be found. I said, yes, you can. You can find it. No, you can't. Why? It's deleted. Well, where does it go when it's deleted? I don't know. Justification is the great delete button for the believer. Justified, meaning we've heard it said, just as if we had never sinned. Imputation, that's not impartation, that's different. Whenever imputation is this, is to take something that belongs to one person and give it over and put it into the account of another. So what happens? God says to the believing sinner, okay, here you are. You're standing here. You're a brand new believer today. Judicial decisions has happened. I am taking something that belongs to my son, the spotless, sinless record of my son. Here, I'm putting it over now into your account, and I will never, never take it back again. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, meaning God, who made him sin, meaning Jesus. Oh, loved one, listen, made to be sin for us. And here's God's purpose, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? What does that mean? It means there on the cross, when God's justice was satisfied, it means that he treated his own son as if he were all the sinners of all the world for all time. Jesus, our Lord God, treated him as if he, his son, had sinned all the sins of all the world. And in order for a true believer to lose his perfect right standing with God the Father, Jesus Christ, the perfect Son, must lose his perfect standing or his perfect righteousness. And loved one, that ain't gonna happen. Amen? Not at all. No. You see, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, say that with me, in Christ. Those are very important words. Anyone in Christ, new creation, old things passed away. That word means severed. You're no longer under the dominion of sin, the power of sin, the consequence of sin, meaning in the end. You're no longer under the control of the wicked one. You've been translated completely out of his kingdom over to the kingdom of Jesus. It means, loved one, that they have been severed. Severed completely. Old things have passed away. Severed. Behold, all things have become new. Now listen to me. To be in Christ, as it just said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, to be in Christ means to possess in position all that he is. He's the only man that ever pleased the Father. Amen? Hey, you please the Father. Why? You're in Christ. Jesus is the only man that ever walked this planet that kept the law to the fullest extent. That means now that you are in Christ, you have kept the law. Do you understand? That is your position. You are now in Christ. Jesus said, he cried out to the disciples before he went to the cross. He said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That means that you, since you are in Christ right this minute, you have overcome the world and all that this world is, and you will reign and rule with our Lord forever and ever and ever. Why? Because God has declared you legally righteous in his eyes because of his Son. That's what justification is. Now listen to me. Justification is not a feeling. I feel justified. No. Justification is a fact. You have to get that into your heart, into your mind. Get it in there. Justification is not something that happens in us. Remember, it's a judicial decision in heaven where God says, I declare you legally righteous now. So it's not something that happens in us. Justification is something that happens to us. It changes our position when God looks at us. Why? We are now in his Son. And if we're in his Son, we have now passed from death into life. Are you following me? Oh, the great doctrine. Now, some of you are saying, okay, Bill, what you're really teaching this morning is once saved, always saved. I'm not teaching that. What I'm teaching is that the evidence of a person's justification is that he's being changed. And also works. Works don't save, do they? No. Let me give you the scripture, Ephesians 2:8, to prove what I'm saying. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. That's it. Not of works, any works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship. Here it comes. Created in Christ Jesus. That means after you're born from above, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Salvation is by faith alone. Works do not result in salvation. They result from salvation. Amen? Oh, that's so important to see that. Now listen to me. Don't ever forget this. Works do not add one thing to the righteousness that has been imputed into your account by God the Father. Nothing. Why? It's not your righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ. Amen? So it can never be changed, nor can you ever add anything to the perfect righteousness of God. It's very important that you see that. We work, we serve the Lord. Why? Because we love the Lord. We want to do those things. Why? It's him that's working in us to fulfill all his good pleasure. Amen? We talked about that Wednesday night. Now, there's a difference between justification, being declared legally righteous before God, and sanctification. Now, we have been sanctified, as it says in Romans 10:10, I believe it is, we've been made permanently holy or permanently set apart. We're saints of God. But also, sanctification is a little different. See, justification is a one-time judicial act, where sanctification, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, is an ongoing process. Amen? Very important to see that. See, justification is a matter of imputation, but sanctification is a matter of transformation, where you're being changed daily into Christ's likeness. Now listen carefully. If God doesn't justify a person, he certainly is not going to sanctify a person. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord, here it is, are being, that's present tense, an ongoing process, are being transformed into the same image, meaning our Lord, from glory to glory to glory to glory to year after year after year, because it's a process. How? By the Holy Spirit that is in us. The work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. So there are two different things, justification, sanctification. Now you know how a person, a lost person, can be made right with God forever and ever and ever. That is our true position, amen? But you also know now why it is good news, amen? It's great, it's wonderful. What does it say in Romans 8:1? Therefore, there is no condemnation, no judgment, and here it is again, to those who are in Christ Jesus. Without him, it wouldn't work. See, we're in him. We're one with him. We're his body. He's the head of the body. Amen? We are the precious body of Christ. And I say, oh, Lord. Let me close with one thought here by Dr. Barnhouse. He says this. He says, there's not a thing that you have to do to merit all of God's grace. You cannot give anything to God. You have nothing to give. But you can believe on his word, and his heart will be satisfied to draw you to himself and strip you of your sin and clothe you with his righteousness and set you upon the throne with him, where you can be his companion and associate in the government of the universe forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. We are the children of God. We are the church of the living God. We are the church that's unashamed. We're the church that has been declared righteous by a holy God. We can have now fellowship with him. And if we sin and break fellowship, remember this, fellowship is broken, but sonship cannot be broken if you're a true believer in Christ. That's so vital that we see it today. You can't earn anything with God. I can't earn anything with God. But oh, to be in the one who earned it all for us. His name is Jesus Christ. All that we have to do, God says, what I demanded from you, you don't have it. So now I give it to you. Accept my offer. Come to me. Believe now. As it says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth, and you believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Why? For with the heart one believes, here it is, unto righteousness. Unto righteousness, meaning where you're declared legally righteous, right standing with God. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the word of God. That we, Lord, we understand it. We want to understand it. We want to know what it means to be justified. Taking away all of that fear. Fear hath torment, but perfect love cast out all fear. Oh God, thank you. And I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that they're unsure of their salvation, or if they've never really publicly confessed Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life, that when we conclude with song, God, they would make their way to the altar where we would pray with them. There's no one like our God. We love you. We praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. And this early service says, amen. Let's stand.
On Love Never Fails next time, Pastor Bill continues his series from the Epistle of Romans. This next message is entitled, Salvation by Faith Alone.
It's a great message you won't want to miss. So we hope to see you once again. Thanks for listening today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.